HarperCollins presents Notting Hill in the Snow by Jules Wake, read by Stephanie Beatty. Chapter 1.
"Do you have to bring that thing on here at this time of day?" snapped the woman, whipping round to look at me, her spiky spider-leg mascaraed eyes shooting sheer poison as everyone on the platform at Notting Hill Gate surged forward when the tube doors opened. "Bloody inconsiderate." I think there might have been an F-word in there as well, but I didn't quite catch it. Taken aback by her hostility, all I could mutter was a hasty, "Sorry," as she gave me another outraged glare. This time, my apologetic smile was tinged with a, "Hey, lady, I have to get to work too," shrug. Travelling with a violin case, actually it's a viola, but everyone assumes, can make you unpopular in rush hour, which is why most of the time I do my best to avoid it. Conscious of all eyes on me, almost siding with the woman who was still muttering about it being a disgrace, I clutched the case to my chest, trying to take up as little space as possible. Even though my nose was squashed up against it, she still tuttered. Then she tossed her hair, saying in a loud voice, "Oh, this is ridiculous!" and squeezed past with a rough shove which pushed me into one of the grab rails. The case ricocheted off the metal right back into my face, hitting my cheekbone with a crunch that brought tears to my eyes. The shock of the pain, and that she'd do something like that, temporarily stunned me, and, rather than saying anything, I just stood there like a complete idiot. By the time I'd gathered my dazed wits together, she'd gone, swallowed up by the crowd, working her way down the carriage. My cheek throbbed, but it was too difficult to manoeuvre an arm up out of the crush and hang on to my viola to give it the there-there rub it desperately needed. I blinked hard, keeping my eyes closed, aware that some people had seen what had happened. When I opened them, I caught sight of a pair of warm brown eyes softening in sympathy. He mouthed, "You okay?" I swallowed, feeling another rush of tears, hating the unwelcome feeling of being vulnerable and pathetic. I nodded. "Oh, don't be nice, please, don't be nice. You really will make me cry." Despite everything, the warm smile and genuine concern made me feel a little better. A single ally in the hostile crowd, all desperate to get to work. I gave him a wan, grateful smile back. "Nice man. Very nice man indeed. I'm a sucker for brown eyes. And smiles, for that matter. Smiles make a difference in life. They cost nothing, and they can make a big difference to your day. Like his had done to mine." Mrs. Scowley, over-made-up face, was probably destined to be miserable all day. As he looked away, I sneaked a second look. He looked all business, buttoned up and Mr. 9 to 5, but nice. Okay, gorgeous. And in that smart suit, with very shiny brogues and short, neat, cropped hair, way out of my league. This morning, I was rocking the Mafia Moll look, an occupational hazard when you spent half your life toting a viola case around London. The look was completed by my long, swingy bob, because it was easy to keep and suited my straight, conker brown, glossy, thank you God, hair, and Mac's finest Lady Danger bright red lipstick, because my makeup artist friend Tilly had talked me into it, and a severe black dress, because I was performing later. Travelling this early sucked, but the conductor on this show was flying out to Austria later this afternoon, so had called a morning rehearsal. I noticed my smiling man for a second time among the tide of people that changed at Oban. He was several people ahead, striding with purpose, navigating his way through the crowd with shark-like ease, unlike me, bobbing along like a little piece of flotsam, trying to stay afloat and keep my viola case to myself. And there he was again, in the same lift as me at Covent Garden Underground Station. As we walked out of the tube, he fell into step beside me. "Is your face all right? You took a bit of a whack." He looked at my cheekbone and winced. "Sorry. I should have said something to that woman, but I didn't realise what had happened until she'd gone, and she got off at Bond Street." "That's all right," I said. I didn't get the chance to say anything either.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?